Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the next podcast from MusicTech.net. I'm Joe Pisano along with
Darren Morton,
and we are getting ready to begin podcasting.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's right. We're back. Well, we have an interesting topic today, and we thought that we'd talk about copyright, musicians, digital rights management, and give you our take on it for what it's worth. Of course, we're not lawyers or anything.
Nor do we pretend to be, or nor do we play one at work.
That's right. One of the one of the interesting things that I've come across researching this topic over the last couple years is that if you go onto the internet and search copyright, you literally get millions of returns. And the interesting thing about that is they're legitimate returns. It's not like copyright sending you to something that isn't copyright. But the amount of confusion created with the amount of information that's out there is actually quite baffling. You start thinking about things like, well, you know, is it legal for me to do this? Is it not legal for me to do this? With musicians today, one of the things that they have a serious problem with is the ability to quickly duplicate things. And it's great on one end. If I'm a musician, I'm making a creative work, and I have a band together, we're putting things out there, it's easier for me to do it. It's easy for me to take the technology to make the recording, and it's easy for me to duplicate. The problem with that is it's easy for everyone else to duplicate.
Yes.
As well.
And today's topic is particularly topical in light of Viacom's $1 billion. That's $1 billion with a B.
B for billion.
$1 billion lawsuit against Google and their site YouTube, specifically about YouTube posting live video.
This is crazy when you think about the numbers. Copyright allows for up to over 100,000. I think it may be 150,000 again. Don't quote us on this. But damages per instance. So when you talk about all the instances on
Google.
YouTube.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Baffling. Absolutely baffling.
$1.5 billion. I think that could be something that could actually hurt the giant Google.
Well, can you imagine that?
$1.5 billion. I don't know. I don't think I could write a check for that. You know, when you think about this copyright and you know, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? One of the things that has come up in the media lately is the ability for us, if you own an iPod, for instance, and you download something from iTunes, it comes candy-coated with a digital rights management encryption on it that really limits your ability to use this. It limits your ability to take it, and from the form that you downloaded it on, you might want to put it on a cassette. Certainly there are ways to do that, but maybe you want to make a digital copy of it and use it on a CD. And digital rights management really limits your ability to make how many copies of that and transfer it.
Now, how do they do this? What's a quick aside here? How is this embedded into the stream?
How is it embedded into the stream? Well, it's actually part of the sound file structures. You know, on CDs, there's no encryption. It's just a standard audio file. And because of that, you can just rip it. You can just copy it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can make exact duplicates of it, but with the digital rights management software, the software that plays it back, whether it's iTunes or whether it's Windows Media Player or any of the new ones, actually goes out and it checks. It says, hey, there's a copyrighted file here. Are we allowed to play it on this computer? And it plays this game back and forth. And you can, you know, depending upon where you download it from, you may be able to copy it to three machines that you have registered with the company, or you may be able to copy it to one machine. You may be able to copy it to five machines. But there's a limitation stressed on it. And the stress is that you can only do so much with this, even if you legally purchased and owned the file, which can create problems. I know, you know, for me, if I legally own something, I want to be able to do whatever I want with it. If I want to be able to copy it to my mini disc player, if I want to be able to copy it to a CD player, I might want to use it on this computer, that computer. As long as I'm using it and it's something that I own for my purposes, I think that I should be allowed to use it.
And the old rule is always that if you bought it, you owned it.
That's
and
right.
Generally speaking, you could copy it, but specifically for your own purposes. And it's even outlined, if you look at copyright information on files on TV shows, it says that they can come after you for duplication, even if it's not for financial gain. You rip a DVD for a buddy.
That's right.
Well, he didn't give you any money. I'm not selling it to him. It doesn't matter. It's not for your use.
That's right. Well, and of course, you know, ripping a DVD for a buddy certainly would be, they would lose money over that one. So we're not going to talk about that one. But, you know, but if you do own a DVD, why can't you make a copy for yourself when it goes goes bad. I don't know about you, but I have a 7-year-old son that's real good at scratching my discs. And, you know, they tell you for archive purposes or whatever, you know, with that. But, you know, there's certainly some restrictions. One of the things that Bill Gates said that recently in media here is that he doesn't, and Steve Jobs as well. It's interesting to have those two titans agree on something.
Yeah, that's I believe that's a chapter in Revelation deals with Jobs and Gates.
Jobs and Gates, that's right. That's right. It's the end of times, and it's all over digital rights management. But one of the things that they both agree on is, you know, you can go out and legally buy a CD. If you own that, you can do whatever you want with it. And that's their recommendation right now because they're tired of digital rights management. I know Apple's getting bossed around by the big companies. You will include this. You will do this. And they're like, you know what? I guess we will because they want to make money too, but they don't necessarily agree with it. So their advice, and I really think that this is good advice, is if you want to buy something and you want to legally be able to do whatever you want with it, go out and buy the CD, not download the DRM file.
And besides, it'll sound better too.
It will sound better. Let's talk about that.
Remarkably better.
You know, people don't really get this, and you know, there's always been a... there's always been a bunch of audio files, if I can use that term, out there that say, of course, that CD doesn't sound as good as phonograph. But one thing I think that we can all agree on is that MP3 doesn't sound as good as a CD, even at its best compression.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fundamentally, the sample rate for a CD, if you want to look at it that way, in the bits per second, you need a 1.4 meg stream an uncompressed WAV file. 44.1K sampling at 16-bit.
And at best, MP3s are what, 320?
Yeah.
So you're losing a quarter of the information somewhere.
And the default setting in Windows Media Player for ripping as WMAs is 128K.
You know, interesting talking
that's 10
about,
to 1, by the way.
You're right. You know, and that's, of course, this is why MP3s at their basic rate are usually 10 times smaller. It's just simple mathematics. If you have something going 1.4 meg versus something going 0.128, it's almost a 10 differential on there. So a file that might be 50 meg, all of a sudden it's 5 megs on there. And of course this is one of the problems with this now. You know, it used to take us forever to send an audio file over electronic means. We can do it now and with broadband in virtually less than a few seconds can come out. And that of course is one of the problems that all of a sudden these industries are like, oh my goodness, they can take our entire CD and send it to their buddies in less than 2 seconds. And now the DVD people, they're finding that with broadband are able to do the same type of thing. But back to the question about sound quality, I have a bunch of music ed majors and regular music majors in my technology classes, and one of the things that I do is that I take a regular sound from any CD that I own a copy of, and fair use allows me to take a copy that I own and play it in class for the kids. So what I do is I rip that into different... a different size MP3s. I go with the ever terrible 48 for the people that are using dial up, and then I go with 96, 128, 192, and then I go with the 320. And interestingly enough, when I take the CD quality and they compare it to the high ends, 80% of the musicians always can tell, even on, and we have moderately decent JBL speakers in there, but they can always tell which is the CD. So back to what you were saying, you know, download the, you know, buy the CD anyways. You can do what you want with it, and it sounds better.
It sounds remarkably better, and we could probably spend 8 shows going into a discussion over why vinyl, why analog sounds better than digital.
But you know, that's one of your experts. At some point, maybe we should talk a little bit
about that. Matter of fact, somebody, if you're interested in hearing a show like that, fire off an email to MuseTech.
That's right, musetech.net, www.musetech.net. Looks like we're going to have to start winding things down while this time goes so fast. Again, we're not experts on copyright. We certainly use it. We certainly try to not willingly violate copyright, and I certainly believe that musicians are due their dues. People that produce things are due their dues, but at the same time, I think that fair use could use a little bit of tweaking and be a little bit more clear. I think that the confusion with copyright and digital rights management and even the limitations, some people call digital rights management digital restrictions management, and that may be actually more appropriate to define what that's doing to us. It's kind of limiting our ability to function with that, but At some point, you know, we'll you know, maybe in the next one we'll continue this, but looks like we're going to have to wrap things up here, and this is our second podcast of MuseTech.net.
And this is not encoded with any form of DRM.
That's right. Hey, that's
you
right.
can do what you want with this.
Creative Commons. We do have a Creative Commons license.
Well, that's a good point.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later, but you can do whatever you want with it as long as you tell people where you got it from, and that's www.musetech.net. For now, I'm Joe Pisano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll catch you next time.